Thank you. afraid to turn out the lights. Is there something you're scared of? What's there out in the dark? Make sure to keep all your windows locked.
Hi and welcome to PHP Alive and Kicking, brought to you by PHP Architect and our partners over at PHP Score. More about them later. This is a podcast that explores the developments in PHP and what it's like to earn a living in PHP today. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Page. I'm a developer at PHP Architect. And my co-host is a longtime contributor to our magazine and now team member, Chris Miller. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. You've been putting messages in the private chat on the left-hand side, but all of a sudden, I can't open it, so I don't know what you're saying to me anymore.
I haven't said anything for
those messages popping up, but I can't open it for some reason.
And I'm blaming, I guess.
Yeah, good old restring. Anyway, today is live, everyone. So if you are listening right now, please head over into our Discord. You can ask questions of our guests or us if you want to know anything about us. But do head over there. You don't have to stay there just for the show. We're in there all week long. There's lots of great people you can interact with and have conversations with. Please do like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And
that is not the YouTube channel.
That's not the YouTube channel.
That's the YouTube channel.
That's the YouTube channel. There we go. I did mention in the intro there that we do have a magazine. And we do have a discount code for our listeners. Alive3 will give you the first 3 months of a yearly digital subscription. Do head over there, check out the articles in the magazine. Always great content each month. I cannot talk. I think I should just stop. No? Okay, I'll carry on. We're not gonna keep swapping over like Eric and John tried on Thursday. No.
No, no.
No, you're leaving it to me. All right then. Okay. As well as being a development studio and having a magazine, we also run an annual conference, PHP Tech. Tickets are now on sale for next year. So it'd be great to see as many people there as possible. But not only that, alongside PHP Tech, we are also going to be running JS Tech. Same time, same location, but purely about JavaScript. And I believe the call for papers is still open.
It is.
Yes, it is. Is it the first week of December it closes?
I have no idea because the date's moved twice.
Well, at the moment it's open, so get those talks in if you've got some ideas about JavaScript-centric talks. We also have a swag store where you can get some lovely T-shirts, hats, caps, all sorts of things. I think Eric keeps adding new things every now and then. Every time he comes up with something he wants, he'll add it to the store. So. Mm. Badge him. If there's something not in the store, badge him. He might actually stick it in there. Okay, that's all our housekeeping, Chris. So
without further ado, first comment.
Not quite yet. Not yet. A little bit early. I know I'm in the UK and it's in the evening, but I'm not quite yet. Not yet. No, it's actually the opposite. I'm just tired.
So... we're definitely not going to try and convert you to become a PHP developer at JS Tech right next to PHP Tech.
Oh, we're not. I thought that was the whole idea. That was the plan.
Shush, we're not letting that bit out in public.
I just thought we were going to have to hire security to have PHP developers and JS developers in the same vicinity at the same time. It's a bit scary.
I mean, to be honest, PHP will just win, so it's fine. And JS Tech CFP closes on December the 1st.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. We better stop nattering because we've got someone in the green room that's sitting there patiently waiting. They were even dialed in to Restream before either of us.
Yeah.
They were sitting there waiting when I came, and I was in there early. So, Chris, over to you to introduce our guest.
So we have a fellow PHP developer, creator of Prism, works at Geocodio, does streaming, does basically everything. We have TJ Miller. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, TJ. It's been one of these. This is one we've been trying to get in the diary for a while.
Yeah.
And then once we finally got in the diary, it seemed to take ages to actually get around to today. But we're here. And we have.
We're here.
Yeah.
And of course, the important things are caffeine.
Yes, absolutely.
So, TJ, you've been watching this for a while. You're going to know what the first question is. How did you get into PHP?
Oh, man, this is such a super boring story. So this is many years ago, I think like 2004-ish, maybe a little sooner. I was building websites with just like HTML and CSS for like lots of local businesses. I was in high school and I wanted a way to like templatize some of the work instead of having to like, you know, copy and paste over all the sidebar, the header and everything over to these like across all the HTML templates and everything. I wanted something like dynamic. And that's when I like discovered PHP and was able to start templatizing some of these websites that I was building so that like the header and the sidebar could stay static, but we could swap out the contents on the inside of the page. And like that was so cool to me. And then like started getting into like database stuff a little bit. I'm like, oh my gosh, you can like connect databases to this. Well, that's a whole nother world to like learn on top of it. So that's kind of like my entry point to PHP was just like needing some dynamicism to like, that's not even a word, but I needed just to kind of like be a little bit more efficient about what I was doing. And needed at some point like access to like data layers. How am I going to do that? Well, we can do that through PHP. So dove further into that, but I all just got started building like websites for local businesses.
Yeah. So that would have been at that point, you would have been using PHP includes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I remember building websites like that. My entire website was just one big include file.
It was, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, that is what most of my code looks like now. So, interestingly, you seem to have journeyed on just a little bit from there, seeing as you're now writing one of the greatest AI integrations in Laravel.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we've come a long way from there, for sure. Like, you know, I early career, like I got started in WordPress doing like lots of just pumping out like marketing websites. Here's PSDs, turn them into websites. Did that for quite a while. And that's where I dove like much, much deeper into PHP. And I was actually at one point working on the agency I was working for had a cake PHP product that they were working on, and I hated it. Just like the way it was written was like kind of crazy. I don't know. I hated it. So I was about ready to jump ship for Ruby on Rails, but I decided to go look at like the other PHP frameworks out there. So I went and looked at like Falcon looked really interesting. I was thinking about going down that route. And then I discovered Laravel. And I was blown away. I'm like, you could write PHP this way? Like, that changed everything for me. And from that point on, I just made a commitment to be inside of PHP and work with it, like, explicitly ever since.
Yeah. Cake PHP is an interesting one, isn't it? It's, you either love it or hate it, and nowhere in between. Right.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it since, but it was. I think the one thing that drove me crazy about it, and this was all like pre-Composer and everything too, but what drove me crazy about it is like the developer that worked on it at the time kind of made it his life's mission to make the templating engine was like an object-oriented templating engine that you could opt into. And he tried to make every template like a single echo call. So it was these deeply nested, chained, like this div, this like the span, like just nested all the way down into a single echo statement for like building out an entire templated page. And so that just drove me insane.
Yeah. That is not how he used templating.
Yeah. Mm. It was fun to play some code golf with it, but it was very frustrating when it was like, yeah, you got to add a whole new like div in here to do some styling. Oh no. Like where the hell is this closing bracket going to go?
25 files is further on, obviously.
Yeah, basically.
Yes. I have worked on sites like that. They're interesting beasts to work on. When you're looking at code and you're going, right, I know that the other half of this is somewhere, but it isn't in this file or that one. Or that one. And by the time you've got halfway down the list, it's like, where did I even start?
Yep, I don't know what I would do without my my find files in NeoVim. Like, I don't look through directories ever anymore. It's just, yeah, start finding me a file, fuzzy finding it, or I like grep through it and find it. But yeah, back then I didn't have any of those tools, so it was definitely like clicking through and deep searching nested files.
And of course, not knowing how to search inside the file, you're having to read the whole thing.
Yep. Oh yeah.
So when did you learn how to quit Vim?
Very early on. I my early even before I really started building websites, my grandmother had given me an old laptop, and I just started like playing with DOS. Like, yeah, I'm like, let me get into the command line, and felt like such a cool little hacker that I could like list directories and stuff, and kind of broke into like Nano and Vim from there. Like as soon as I got into Linux, and you got stuck once, figured out how to get out of it, and but was hooked. I've been a Vim and NeoVim user for 15, 20 years, maybe 20 years now. So big fan. I got hooked.
I think the thing I like about it is the fact that it is so customizable. Mm-hmm. If you want to change something about Vim, go ahead. You can just change it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's funny to go through, like, my Vim config has evolved a lot over the years, but there are key bindings that have been in there for, 20 years that are just so ingrained in muscle memory that it makes it hard for me to really use any other editor at this point.
Yeah. I occasionally log into PHP Storm, and it's like, right, how do I do anything? And I keep doing, like, Control S to save the file, and... Oh yeah, this is PHP Storm. I don't need to do that. And
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm like losing my leader key, or like I get so lost in like any other IDE at this point. I've tried a whole bunch recently with all the like the wave of AI editors and everything. Mm. You know, I wanted to try them out, give them a shot, but I'm so unproductive in them. Thank God for Claude Code, and I can stick in my terminal and get a piece.
I use PHP Storm, but for a while I did use NeoVim, and then I can't remember why I wanted to try PHP Storm. I think it was because I was very new to NeoVim. I'd followed Jess Archer's tutorial on Laracast on how to set up NeoVim for PHP developers. I knew there was just so much more that could be done, but I didn't have the time to do the research and figure out how to get it working in NeoVim. So I just went, go to PHP Storm, because there's a lot of features built into PHP Storm. But one of the first things I did was change it over to use Vim bindings. So I've brought a lot of my bindings from NeoVim into PHP Storm, and that's always still evolving and getting bigger and bigger and bigger as I'm discovering more and more things.
There's
a lot more I can be doing. I know that. But yeah, unfortunately, it means that my NeoVim setup has been neglected for so long. And I went to go and try and do some stuff in my dot files, and my NeoVim just doesn't work.
Yeah,
I just cannot get it working anymore. It's like, okay. So just a quick one. I think that Eric's got the call for papers for JS Tech wrong, because John's just jumped in.
John has said the JS Tech closes on the 7th. Eric has said the 1st. So what we'll do is we'll say the 4th, and then everybody will get them in early.
Yeah, we could say, well.
Yes, right. John is being very clear there. It closes on the 7th of December.
Right.
It is the 7th.
Okay.
Unless we move it again.
back to NeoVim. So, unfortunately, I went into NeoVim the other week to try and do some dot file changes and just try change a few text files, which I don't actually do very often outside of PHP recently. And even things like Markdown, I've been doing in PHP still. But yeah, it's all broken, so I'm going to have to call on someone to help me fix it. I did try to do it in, get it fixed in Claude, I think, but it just got a bit messy. It didn't quite work.
Claude has no idea how to do NeoVim configs. I've noticed this. I'm pretty sure none of the staff there use NeoVim, because it knows nothing about it.
Yeah, and my all configged in Lua, and I had it update. I had to write a couple plugins for me recently to offload a few like things I wanted to try out, and it did a pretty okay job. But yeah, it's not super well educated on configuring NeoVim with Lua for sure.
So, mummy and daddy are fighting.
Yes. John says he moved the conference because I'm speaking at moved the call for papers because I'm speaking at a different conference, which is a JS conference. And we could just do that. Yeah.
And we'll do that. So we can follow the argument.
So the rest of this is just going to be watching John and Eric decide who moved it. So MVPop says that Claude Code is actually good at NeoVim configs. Right. What's your secret? Because whenever I ask it to configure anything, it just gets it wrong.
And I'm glad you say that, Chris, because I started to think it was me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've had to build I was experimenting with some like Prism and AI stuff and trying to integrate it into like some NeoVim things, and I was having a really hard time with it, so I had Claude like knock it out. Nothing interesting. I've like abandoned the project at this point, but it did a pretty good job being able to like put most of the things together, and you can always point it over to the docs now and have it go crawl the docs, and it's got web fetch, so it can go crawl web pages.
So was this the ability to use Prism in NeoVim that you've abandoned?
It was a way to, it was a way that I could like get a popover window with Prism output using like a PHP script invoked by NeoVim.
Nice.
And like passing in like buffer context and all sorts of other information. So it was I just wanted to see if I could do it, and I could do it. And then I've never used it since, but it was just kind of a itch to scratch.
Well, I really want to see what that code looks like now.
Yeah.
I'm mad like that. I like seeing things that are just weird experiments that usually end up being something cool. You look at something like not Claude Code and Cursor. That started as somebody's idea of what happens if we put AI in an IDE.
Yeah, sure.
And if you could put AI inside a good IDE like NeoVim, you end up with quite a powerful little tool.
Yeah, it's there's much better like AI integrations into NeoVim than that. It was at the time I was like, I have these system prompts that I really like to use, these like personas. And I leverage those a lot through Prism. I've got like a little open web UI app that I have like running persistently on my computer, And then that uses a Laravel, like that connects to like a Laravel API through Prism. And so I can like chat these custom personas without having to, you know, do weird things about trying to like reset system prompts or other stuff. I can just kind of like interact with them, just like I'd interact with like pulling up like Claude Desktop or something. So I like to like pipe a lot of stuff like through Prism because I can just, you know, make them do whatever I'd like super easily.
I threw that up because Eric said to one of the people watching on YouTube, come and join us in Discord. And they're now in Discord, which is cool.
On that note, I think it's time to hang on, find the right video. Go to our partners for today.
Thank you to our partners at phpscore.com. Every app builds up technical debt over time. It's the price we pay for shipping new features and moving fast. When we build up too much of it, though, it can start to impact how we work. Team velocity suffers, bugs become more frequent and take longer to fix, and everyone starts to get a little frustrated. The key to managing debt is to measure it. A credit score can help you understand how well you're managing your financial debt, and now there's a credit score for your technical debt. Go to phpscore.com to get a free technical debt score and monitoring for all of your PHP applications today.
Thank you, PHP School.
PHP School.
I'll do
the echo today. So I was reading some of the chat. I was catching up with chat, but you know what it's like for me. I'm always 3 or 4 messages behind.
So am I, and they're usually my messages.
Yes, well. So I think it's a good transition to start talking about this package that you've been working on recently that's got everyone excited. How did that come about? Where did the idea come from to begin with?
So it started when I did a little while before the Laravel Worldwide meetup I did. I forgot what year that was. I think it was a couple years ago at this point. And like sort of getting ready for that talk, but kind of my journey getting into AI led me to a point where this was like very early in AI. This was when I got started with it. It was maybe like 6 months before ChatGPT came out. And I just kind of got bit by the AI bug. And I saw like a ton of potential with it. I've got like pretty severe ADHD. And I saw so much potential for me to be able to like build things to help augment my reality and like things to be able to like help me through like day-to-day work life, whatever, through AI and like the potential I could see it having as it got more powerful. And I didn't know Python at the time. All the AI ML stuff at that point was like pretty solidly in Python. There was some TypeScript stuff starting to come out. LangChain was like getting popular. There was a TypeScript version of that came out. But I missed spending all of my time in Laravel. Like I've spent so much time, like so much of my development career has been spent with it. I love the framework. I live and bleed it. But I wanted to be back in Laravel and like working on these experiments and continuing to learn more about AI and like building like these tool sets. I wanted to be back inside of like PHP and Laravel, and like there wasn't really any tools at the time. So I decided to like start working on a little framework. At the time I called it Sparkle, and it was kind of like this, like similar to Prism, but definitely different. It was like an agent focused library. It had nowhere near as like well structured, like multi provider support, but it did support multiple providers. So it was kind of this like early iteration of Prism. But I had been showing progress on it to Taylor. And Taylor had just like, we were talking about the AI SDK from Vercel. And he said, he just like in passing was like, yeah, I wonder what a Laravel version of that would look like. And I sat there for a second and the API just kind of like hit me. And I sat down and like started sketching out the API and like how you would interact with it and how like multi-provider support would kind of work. And then just started like fulfilling that contract. So it was like very, very much API first and then backfilling the functionality to meet that API.
Nice. Cool. So the right way around, you thought about the developer experience first.
Oh, for sure. And then just, it's always kind of started there, you know, and as I'm facing like developing a few new features for it now, it's right back to that API development. It's like, how do I want to make these interactions work? How is it going to feel? And I think that's something that I've just gleaned from working with Laravel for so long, like that really clean, fluent, easy to work with, like where you start assuming you work with it long enough, you start like assuming methods are there and then magically they're just there for you. There's like, it's a very intuitive thing to work with. And so I took a lot of that inspiration and applied that to the API of Prism.
And that is one of the things that Laravel always does. The developer experience is the first thing of Laravel, so much so that we actually, for a while, had people who would call themselves Laravel developers and not PHP developers.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you see that in like the JavaScript community too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like you get really like locked in, like framework lock in, you know, where that's, you learned PHP by working with Laravel. And like, I know a ton of people that's how they learned PHP was by starting like and picking up working with Laravel, and then they learned PHP from there.
Yeah, and Laravel makes it easy to make that bridge because it helps you with stuff until you need to do more than the framework. And that's when you start diving into the more complex stuff of, okay, now we're into business logic and how we do that. And then we're into how do we do multi-threaded in PHP. The answer is, I don't think you can yet. we've got Nico on Twitter saying, thanks for Prism.
Oh, very welcome. It's such a passion project for me. Like I love working on it. It's something I think about and constantly tinkering with. So very welcome.
Do you know the point I realized that Prism wasn't your full-time job?
Which was that?
When I saw an advert for a job at Geocodio that you were recruiting for.
Yeah.
So yes, that's when I found out that Prism wasn't actually making you any money.
No, I have, I do have like a handful of sponsors that I deeply appreciate and I'm very thankful for. So, but I chew through a ton of tokens every month, like running tests and experiments and, you know, trying to like push Prism further and like, you know, even just driving out a new provider, or like testing like with Gemini 3.0 Pro that came out, there were a bunch of changes in the API that kind of needed to be made. And we're still working through those with other contributors because it's just not a model and provider that I use very often. So I don't have a lot of reasons to be testing it. So there's been a lot of really solid contributors coming back in and bringing more support for Gemini. But I have to like manually test all of that stuff too. So I've chewed through a ton of tokens with Google over the last like month or so, you know, driving out functionality. Then they drop a new model and then I got to go test all of that stuff. So the sponsorships go a long way, but it's far from being a full-time gig.
Yeah. And any sponsorship is going to help.
Oh, it makes such a huge difference for sure. Mm. Like if I could get to a point, like I think, for me, the dream would be to be able to make enough in sponsorships that I could like maybe drop a day a week at Geocodio, like be able to just like just dedicate Fridays to Prism all day, every week. You know, like that would be awesome if I could get to that point. But we'll see.
Or talk Taylor into taking it on as first party.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, you say about you churn through lots of credits. I can imagine because I with ChatGPT, I've only got the free account and I'm always running out. I'm always asking random questions, and it's just things I come up with. I just like ask it a question, then leave it running for a little while, and I'll go and do something else, come back to see what it churned out. And I'm always running out of credit. So I can imagine you going through quite a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely chew through them, and, you know, it's, spinning up accounts at all the different providers and like, you know, having to juggle all the API keys for everyone. And, you know, it's remembering which one supports what thing. And it's a wild time out there. I mean, look at the last week alone, we've had, you know, three new Premiere models drop and with that new features and functionality too. So it's been a busy couple weeks with Prism, and we're, like I said, we're still churning through some of the API changes for the new stuff.
Mm. Yeah, I can imagine. I hadn't appreciated your thought really about the cost of all the testing you must go through. And then I'm now thinking about the little idea that we were talking about just before the show that I'm hoping at some point, probably in the new year, to get time to play around with. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to go through quite a lot of credits just testing that to make sure it worked. So yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, one of the cool things I found out recently, I started playing a little bit more with Ollama and local models for test experiments because a lot of times what I'll end up doing is like I'll build a streaming chat app just to like get the feel for how Prism behaves in there. Like one of the things I'm working on right now is like message persistence. Like how can we make persisting these conversations through building chat apps like a really clean experience? Hmm. So like I would be like chewing through tokens, building that thing out and like testing different configurations and different things. But, you know, I made the investment in a pretty like maxed out MacBook, somewhat recently. So I have the affordance to be able to run some of the bigger local models. And I've been pretty blown away. Like the OpenAI's GPT OSS model is very impressive. So for building out integrations and like experimenting with stuff, I think you can get pretty decent mileage and like a pretty good idea of how a large language model is going to handle the task at hand through some local models. And then you can kind of upgrade to like test on some of the more powerful stuff. Or if you're running into it just like not being effective, you know, scale up a little bit, you know, try the next level up model. Because I think from the efficiency side of things, you really want to nail on using the smallest model possible to complete the task. So you can kind of scale up that way, kind of starting with local and then kind of upgrading through the smaller models. And the smaller the model, the less expensive they are. So you can kind of get away with, you know, sort of testing a little bit less expensive. Mm. And then you can also kind of through that process of like leveling up a little bit at a time as you're trying to figure out what it's capable of, you'll also probably land on the smallest capable model for the job too.
Mm. Yeah, that's really interesting, really helpful advice.
And a lot of people don't realize you can even do that in some of the IDEs like Claude Code. Mm. You can actually tell it which model to use.
It was either yesterday, Titan article on their blog about how to use like Ollama and self-hosted models. Mm-hmm. So that's like a great resource for kind of like getting into that as well.
Oh, definitely. So we've had a lot of conversation in a very short space of time, which is good. First up is Jimmy, who has a question. I'm a PHP developer for 15 years. Sure, I know other languages. I began with assembly and C. Now I'm tired with the bullies of PHP. I see JS like React and other stuff very complicated. I've got the impression some juniors don't see PHP because PHP is old and not the actual hype.
Oh man, this is so loaded. yeah, this is a goldmine of stuff for like hot takes around PHP. Like I definitely think PHP suffers from an image problem. I've thought that for a long time. Like that's one of the things that I appreciate about Laravel and the Laravel community is like, I think everyone really pushes hard to like elevate the language alongside mm-hmm. like the frameworks, and like you don't get to be using PHP without, you know, using a framework at this point for a lot of things. So I think a lot of PHP suffers from an image problem, and I think we suffer because of that. We end up sort of suffering at the top of the funnel, right? When we get mm-hmm. new junior devs and people entering the industry, like we suffer at that top of the funnel. And that's where like JS is kind of snagging everyone at this point, is like, that's where all the boot camps are like using like Python or JavaScript. Like that, I think that's like 90% of the boot camps that I see. I'm based in Metro Detroit with a lot of like auto industry. So we see a lot of like Java boot camps around here too. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of it is like JavaScript and Python. So, you know, we as a brand PHP, right, we need to figure out how we can like capture at that top of the funnel. And I think part of that is like sort of like the image issue. Mm-hmm. So I was like really happy to see with the 8.5 release, like they had like a really nice branded web page for that. I think that was like super clean. I love how they approached that. I think more of things like that are going to be helpful. So, mm-hmm.
Mm. And I think some of the image we don't help ourselves with this. And I've seen another one the other day, where someone's posting, maybe in LinkedIn, for example. This one was in LinkedIn, and the headline says something about PHP. It was actually the question: is PHP dead? And there's a massive sort of the post then go. If you extend the post, there's a big explanation why it's not dead. But the problem is, no, people are just seeing the "is PHP dead" and assuming PHP is dead. And that's it. They're not going to open it up and read the rest of it. So those things, we've got to try and turn those around. That's kind of where this show was born from. Was I was at PHP UK earlier this year, and there was a conversation about that, about using more positive language to talk about PHP and not keep saying no, PHP isn't dead. We should just forget about that and not say that anymore. Certainly don't title websites or posts with those words. Even if it's PHP isn't dead, people just read PHP dead. They don't get the rest of the sentence. So I think as a community, we need to change the way that we're trying to present. Mm. These posts aren't trying to damage PHP, and I understand that. They are trying to encourage people, but it's not working because people are seeing the negative before they see the positive.
I think it's a little bit of like chicken and egg though too. I think those types of posts exist because there is this like connotation that it's mm-hmm. dead. Mm-hmm. And so I think it you have to be careful that it doesn't get too cyclical, but yeah, I don't know. It's been something that has been on my mind for years as like mm-hmm. someone who's like passionate about education and like sharing this stuff. It's like how can we get more people in the door, because it's like just so advantageous. Like I look at like setting up Ruby on it, like even just from like a sysadmin level, like how much it takes to set up Ruby on a server, right? Versus how much it takes to set up like PHP on a server. Maybe I've just been doing it for so long, but like it's like an easy process to walk through. It's like, it's well documented. It's mm-hmm. it's because PHP has been around for so long. Granted, with that too, there's a lot of bad PHP around as well. But I don't know. It's been something on my mind for a while. And I love seeing that there is such an initiative now kind of across the board, you know, internally in PHP, you know, mm-hmm. podcasts like this, you know, the initiative for the 8.5 website. Like, I think there's a really healthy conversation going on about mm-hmm. it now.
And I think one of the things that's helping, and you'll know the conversation we had in Chicago, but one of the things that I think is helping is actually the marketing machine that goes around a lot of the frameworks. So you've got Laravel drawing people in because they're good at marketing for themselves, which
sure.
in turn promotes PHP. And then you got native PHP who just goes, by the way, we can do mobile apps now.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool. And
yeah. And with Prism, like, I don't want to like toot my own horn too much, but with Prism, like, now you're not bound to like, look at my use case. Now you're not bound to Python. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to work with AI. Not a problem working in PHP. And I know there's like a fantastic Symfony package for working with AI as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like more accessible than ever inside the language to be able to like be accessing like new hot technologies, you know?
And you've got the official MCP SDK.
Yeah. Yeah. The investment from the actual PHP Foundation to, you know, be involved inside of AI. I think that's, so fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And then you get some weirdo who's started a series of articles in a magazine that's published every month by PHP Architect on the basics of machine learning in PHP. So teaching linear regression and all sorts in PHP. I have no idea who's writing that series, me.
Yeah.
And these sort of things are all possible in PHP. And it's almost like we don't shout about it enough. We don't, at the lowest level, we don't say, actually, all of the cool things you can do in JavaScript, yeah, we can do that.
And if there's not like direct solutions with it, there's a lot of affordances inside of frameworks to be able to do those things. So, I mean, you look at like Livewire, like being able to do that inside of Laravel gets you so close to the JavaScript experience for a lot of things. I think it's a more exciting time than ever to be getting into PHP with like all the things that are at our fingertips now.
Yeah. I mean, just to point on what Nico's just said about the PHP is dead title being a clickbait, and when you then read the article it says it isn't. I get that. The concern that I think a lot of people have that I talk to is that people read that and they don't click on it. They don't read the article to find out.
You're doom scrolling, right? You scroll past the title, you read the title, but you're not reading the article. Yeah. And so you see the post on Reddit, you scroll past the title and it's like, yeah, it's PHP dead. You're like, well, I don't know, is it? But you're not clicking through to read the article because we don't have the attention spans anymore. But you're scrolling past it, you're seeing those titles, like, is it dead? Is it dead? Is it dead? Well, now you're starting to question it. So I see where you're coming from too.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there was another question, but I now can't find it.
There was. It was.
Yes, that's the one.
So, OFFS is joining us because he's finished dinner and he's done the dishes. And he wonders if some kind of PR, which pulled in the Python Lite LLM model details, would be of value.
Maybe. I'd be open to like checking out the PR. Like, we don't have explicit light LLM support inside of Prism. I think if you're going through it as like an OpenAI compatibility layer, you might have access to it. I don't know. Check it out. I open the PR. Like, I'll be happy to take a look at it, or shoot me a DM on any platform. You go to my website, I've got a links page, you can find me everywhere. Shoot me a DM and we can talk a little bit more about it. But I don't see why I'd be opposed to it.
Yeah. And he went on to say that he uses Lite LLM a lot for prototyping, and it includes all the stats and the costings. And I think that's more what he's getting at, the fact that you could pull out the stats and costings.
Yeah, you can. We do expose like all the like tokens and stuff that you're using through your requests with Prism, but you're it's still on you to be like totaling and exposing them. Lite LLM operating as a proxy to providers gives it that opportunity to like kind of build those stats up for you and store them. I've not used Lite LLM in a long time, but it looks pretty nice. It's come a long way.
Mm. Nico wants to know if you've ever accidentally committed an API key.
Yep, 100%.
I think that's a good everyone's response. Yep.
Yep, that's 100% happened.
I definitely haven't. I definitely haven't, and I'm now going to check every repo. Mario,
yeah, what is it? What is it? The BFG? Is that what you're used to scrub repos of things? I'm pretty sure that's the CLI. Yeah, I'm familiar. definitely committed keys.
So Marion says, let them think PHP is dead. I get your point, but actually, I'd rather they didn't think PHP was dead and came and programmed with us.
Yeah. No, I mean, one of the scary things I experienced was that being at the PHP UK conference when they were doing a panel, and that was one of the questions, was talking about bringing in junior devs. And before they answered the question, they did ask anyone over the age of, I think it was 35, if I remember rightly, to put their hands up that are full-time devs, and pretty much the whole room put their hands up. That's a scary position to be in when you've not got anyone in their 20s and coming into the language. What's going to happen in 30 years' time? When all those 35-year-olds are now 65 and trying to retire and no one else is coming back in. So I would say we don't want to let people think PHP is dead. We want to bring in the new blood. We want to bring in new people, and that's the way how society and communities thrive, is bringing in new blood.
Yeah.
No.
One of two things will happen if we don't bring in 20-year-olds. One, the language will eventually go away. Two, those of us that are in our 60s are going to be paid a hell of a lot more money.
There is that. Okay, PHP's dead.
I know, this is exactly why I've been all in. I've been in the strat for years, right? I'm just waiting for it to die so I can capitalize on all the legacy code.
That's exactly how COBOL did it. I have seen COBOL jobs now advertised at £150,000, about $200,000, for editing COBOL.
Oh, I'm sure.
All right, I'm going to start Googling some tutorials.
Yeah.
I will give you a clue. Anything that's on YouTube about COBOL is going to be at least 15 years old.
Yes, that's so fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't changed since like 1985, so.
Right.
Nico makes a fair point. COBOL guys make bank with banks. Yes.
That's true.
The real money's in Fortran. That's where you make the real money.
Jeez.
I was once responsible for writing Fortran for a very short space of time, mainly because it was bloody awful. it's like Python in that the indentation of your code matters.
Oh yeah.
It's weird because it's like got to be in the right columns, and it's no, I my brain doesn't work that way. Don't give me columns.
Yeah, this is also why I don't like YAML. You know.
Yeah.
I do love YAML though. I mean, I hate working with it, but I love it.
I don't know who wants to tell Marion.
You can't do maths.
He says he's from 89, so he's 26 years old, in which case I'm only 30.
Yes, I wish. I wish maths worked that way.
I mean, we could just make up maths.
I think I was doing that earlier. Oh, or was it yesterday? I can't remember. I'm lost. The last couple of days have merged a bit. maybe I am drunk. Maybe that's what's going on. I sniffed the whiskey when I went downstairs, so that was enough.
Mm. There you go. Gotcha.
That was it. It's got me. Yeah. So
I guess the next important question then, TJ, is: are you coming to tech this year?
Oh yeah, I'll be there.
Good.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I unfortunately missed the CFP. So I don't think I'll be talking this year. But I will be there for sure.
We do have another CFP open.
Yeah, what you should do is do a talk on PHP for JavaScript developers and put it into JS Tech.
I thought about it. Not gonna lie. I almost thought about doing a Vercel AI SDK talk as well, because it is mm-hmm. such a similar realm that like I should be able to like pick up and run with it. But I don't know. My JavaScript is so rusty at this point. I think I'd be doing myself a disservice like trying to do a JavaScript talk and relearn the language.
If only you had some sort of system that let you integrate with multiple AIs that would help you.
I know, right? That'd be great.
Just get AI to write it for you. No one will know.
Yeah.
Honest.
Yeah, no. It should be
You're
good.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I just got to memorize it, right? That's good to go.
No.
No. Then you
what you do I, then is you go to 11 labs, you teach it your voice, and
you just get on stage and hit play, like DJ style, right?
And then just go and sit in the front row and then ask yourself some questions.
Yeah, right. Oh, I should have pitched that one.
Oh, that'd be great.
I may do it.
It's doable.
May pitch the AI talk.
Yeah.
It's totally doable.
I think the funniest conference talk I ever gave was one on how to do conference talks. I said precisely nothing in the talk. It was just on like raising your voice and lowering your voice. And all I was doing was demonstrating it with, and now I'm going to raise my voice and then I'm going to lower it so that people think I'm talking about something important. And
nice. I love that.
Yeah. So, We're getting up to our time now. Unfortunately, it's been a laugh, but we do have one more question for you.
Yeah,
you've probably touched on quite a bit of it already. But what excites you about PHP now today, or what's coming up?
There's a whole bunch of interesting stuff, right? Like I want to play with some pipe operators a little bit and like brand new feature out. I want to mess with those some more. That's an exciting feature add for me. I don't know. I thought about this question a little bit early on, like while we were chatting before the show. And honestly, like the thing that gets me the most excited about PHP, and like it's the same thing that's made me the most excited about PHP for years, is just the community. It's the people that are involved in it. It's the, you know, the things that we're doing. Like every time I go to like PHP Tech or Laracon or, you know, something, I come back so inspired to like do more and better things, like especially now that I'm like working with Prism. You know, I came back from like all of these conferences so inspired to like make it better and like contribute more. I don't know, it's like it's always been the community for me. Like that's something that bit me early on in my like serious PHP career when I started, you know, got out of the marketing stuff and got into like building real world apps. I went to Laracon. Let me check the badge. 2016 was my first Laracon. So that was like my first conference I'd ever been to, anything. And I walked away from that conference just so committed to PHP, to Laravel, to the community. I was just blown away by that. And I've been to a bunch of conferences since then, spoke at a handful. And I just always come back to, for me, the most, like one of the most exciting things is the community. So like, if you're watching this, like if you haven't been to a conference, like try and get to one. Like PHP Tech is like one of my favorites because, it's a well-organized conference. The venue's like, I think, great for our conference. I've always enjoyed speaking at it, but it's such a great blend of like you know, you got Laracon, which is like very Laravel heavy. I've been to a bunch of Laracons. I love it. But this like PHP Tech, I think, does such a good job of like giving you the exposure to like PHP as a broader language mm-hmm. and like the broader PHP community. It's such a great entry point into that. So like, I think that's a great conference to go to. Laracon, highly recommend. Love it. They're all over. The Laravel Live conferences are fantastic too. So if you can like get out there and get involved in the community, like highly recommend it. It's, I think, one of the, like, the very special pieces about the language.
Yeah, you said, I love the fact that you said the community. I'm afraid you have to forgive me. My dog is now barking at some idiot setting off fireworks. Sure. So if you can hear my dog's barking, I do apologize. But I wanted to weigh in here, not just keep muted, because I've said this on the show before on other episodes, but the PHP Tech community was so welcoming to me when I went to it first time last year. I was flown over as part of the team, and I was working on it, but it was, everyone was just sit there chatting away with you, and you would be sitting talking to someone, then you realize it's someone from internals or you're talking to Derek or you're talking to Ben Ramsey, and you go, it's been Ben Ramsey I'm talking to. And one of the big things I think from that, from especially from tech, is that there's no cliques, is what we would say. There's no sort of barrier between the speakers and the general public that are going to watch. The speakers mingle, and there's so many people there. It is such a great experience. I would highly recommend that anyone can go, even if you have to get your company to sponsor you to come over it. Come over, and if you don't know anyone, just talk to one of us. Yep. You've seen our faces enough. You know who we are. We're all going to be there working. TJ's going to obviously be there. Just come and say hi. Say hi to Eric or John or any of the team, and we'll introduce you to people. And I understand what it's like. I have social anxiety, so I know what it's like trying to be in a building full of people that I don't know. And I had never felt at ease so quickly when I turned up to tech last year when I came to the first one. And I think it helps that we do over a spread of over 3 days as well. So you start to see the same faces the next day and the next day, and you start talking to people. Not knocking any of these one-day conferences, which have been to quite a few, and you do pick up a lot of stuff. You don't get that social time to actually meet people properly. Although the conference Chris was talking at was it last week or the week before, and I went along.
I've lost game.
Yeah, I can't remember when it was. The days are merging now. I obviously met a few of Chris's sort of people he knows, because I didn't know anyone there, and he introduced, and luckily got to chat into a few people. It was nice, but I've found when I've gone to conferences on my own, when it's only one day, you don't always get that connection with people. But again, I've learned a lot from those conferences, so I'm not knocking them. It's they're brilliant to go to. I wouldn't say don't go to them. You might be more easy to talk to than I am and meet people. But tech over the 3 days with the socializing in the evening, I've not experienced anything like it since all the same. So I absolutely love it, and really, really recommend it. Really recommend it to anyone. It's a long flight from where we are, but if you can get over there, get over there. So submit to JS Tech, because we'll fly you over if you get selected.
Not only fly you over, we'll put you up in the hotel.
Oh yeah. Well, no, yeah, we'll put you in the hotel as well. We won't make you sleep on the streets. You can have a hotel room as well. I mean,
you can if you want to, but
well, yeah, it's optional. But yeah, no, definitely get in there. You've got a few more weeks before that call for papers closes. And if you've missed it this year and you don't get the ability to come over, there is virtual tickets. So you can get a virtual ticket to watch the talks, but try for, I'm sure 27 is going to happen as well. It's coming up to the stage where Eric and John Simon were never doing it again, but they'll still do it again, I'm sure. But yeah, so try again next time and come along. It is a great experience.
I mean, as stupid as it sounds, going from not knowing a single person in that room other than to have met them on Discord to sitting around a table eating sushi with TJ and Daniel Colborn, and it's like, what am I even doing here in the middle of Chicago eating sushi with people that wrote packages I use?
Oh man, I'll tell you what, like my like handful of best friends that I've the longest, these are friends that I've had for the longest amount of time in my life, people that I talk to like all the time. I met them in 2016 at AlaraCon going out to we went out to like dinner together. Like someone had just like posted on Twitter that like, yeah, hey, we're at AlaraCon, we're going out to dinner. And I think I met Eric at the same dinner. Like it was just this like wild experience where, you know, just I went along for the ride on a whim. I didn't know anybody at the conference beforehand and then walked away with like four or five of like my best friends. Mm-hmm. So like it's the magic of being at some of these conferences. So, and it's, definitely, for me, it's been ubiquitous across, Laracon, Laravel Live Denmark, PHP Tech, like this, like the PHP community, it's so welcoming across the board. It's not just PHP Tech, but like just this community in general. You can like, I landed in Laravel Live Denmark. I didn't know anybody. First time overseas. And I left with like a whole bunch of new friends. It's just like the scene, like the PHP scene is just welcoming. It's friendly. It's inviting. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't tell you like how many conferences we go up to and there's like gaps and circles of people talking, like plenty of room for you to just like walk in, you know, just listen in, drop in. And yeah, just, you know, you see the people out there that are doing live streams that are like, you know, talking. If you find them, just go like introduce yourself, say hi. Like, I think one of the most rewarding experiences for me was of Laracon this year was I was walking between the venue and the expo center and someone ran up to me and they were like, hey, let me show you what I built with Prism. Blew my mind. Like, just like somebody is using this thing that I built. But I had never met them before. They just ran up to me and was like, hey, you got a second? Let me show you what I built with Prism. And like, that was one of the more meaningful experiences that I walked away from the conference with. So yeah, just walk up, introduce yourself and say hi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have yet to find a person in PHP who doesn't say hi back.
Yep. For sure.
Yeah. And that is one of the things that makes this such a good language. The community is the center of it. Like you said, it, you can't not have the community in PHP and mm-hmm. not see success. I mean, I can put a question on Twitter and it's highly likely that the person that wrote the package I'm asking about replies to me. Mm-hmm. And that's just weird.
But also, I think being involved in the community, going to conferences and things like that, how many people have got jobs through that, those networking as well?
Oh, my entire career was based on, my entire career has been based on the decision to be involved in the Laravel community.
You're going to have to give us some context to this one, TJ.
Oh, dear. I think I might know some of it.
I definitely didn't crash at his place over the summer for a long weekend, and it was not creepy, mostly.
Was this the weekend where you didn't appear on the podcast too?
Yes, that was definitely the weekend I didn't appear on the podcast.
Yeah, he just CGI'd you into the back of the video. Yes. Okay. So we do need to start wrapping things up. I think we could sit here for hours longer just chatting away. And like most of our guests, all of our guests, we could carry on talking for ages. So we will definitely have you on the shortlist for next year to come on the show. We'll catch up with you, see what Prism's up to, what new stuff is coming.
Yeah.
If you want it, we're not going to kidnap you and force you to be on the show.
You're not. I clearly am.
I'd love to come back anytime.
You know who's good cop, bad cop now.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, we'll start wrapping things up. But Tina, thank you very much for coming on. It's been one of those episodes that we've been trying to get in. That it's not been very easy to find when you're available to jump on. And I love the fact we've done live with you, and we've been able to get some questions in. And definitely, we'll get you in again next year, and we'll chat about all sorts.
Perfect.
So I need to bring my script up because I'll forget something otherwise. So so thank you very much. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching or listening, or however you are consuming this this show. One thing we are going to, and have I got it ready? Have I got it ready? It's there. It's there. It is there. But I've got to remember how to share my screen. There it is. Ah, there we go. Speakers are starting to be announced for tech next year. I probably should scroll down the page a bit. I can't see what I'm doing when I'm in this screen. But yeah, so we have a really good selection of speakers already selected. So if you haven't got your ticket yet, get your tickets and come and join us.
There's some blooming good speakers in amongst who've already been selected, and there's still more to go.
Yep. So keep an eye on the website. Have you got the link there to show, Chris? Ready?
You mean that one?
This is going so smooth, so professional.
We're just learning from John and Eric. That's all.
We've got the best teachers in the world. PHPtech.io. Head over there. You can keep an eye on what who's going to be appearing. Also, don't forget to join us in Discord. People are in there all the time, including TJ will be in there. If you're tagging me, I'm sure he'll answer.
Yeah. I summoned him the other day.
Yeah. If you summon me, I'll show up.
Yeah. Do you have to say your name three times? You have to say your name three times before you show up.
Five times into a mirror. It's like Candyman.
Right. It's that one. Right. There's so many different rules. I can't remember who goes by which rules.
It's Bloody Mary if you want it three times into a mirror.
I'm more preferential to Beetlejuice, so three will work.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going off of.
There you go.
So discord.phparch.com. Come and join us for the chat. And we're loads of great people in there all week long chatting along. So do join us. If you're on our YouTube channel, please like and subscribe. If you're not on the YouTube channel, go over there, like and subscribe, and you can see all the other episodes and the other podcasts that we do as part of the same channel. We have the main show on a Thursday evening with Eric and John. We've got us, which I don't know what our schedule is anymore because it's like...
We're putting one out Thursday. I don't know who it is yet.
Yeah. We'll be taking place. We'll have something going out on Thursday, taking place of the main one, because our fellow friends over the pond will be celebrating its Thanksgiving. Have I got that one right?
Yep.
Thanksgiving over there.
Couple days.
Yeah. So we'll be putting something up on Thursday. Are we doing something on Friday as well, then? As well as Thursday, we're just doing Thursday, not Friday. We're just putting it forward.
Not Friday. We'll bring it forward.
So we're just doing one more this week. Originally, we were going to do one every other week, and now we're doing two a week.
Yeah, this is episode 17,
and we've been going for 3 weeks. So that's our YouTube channel. Don't forget a magazine discount for our lovely listeners. Alive 3 will give you the first 3 months of a annual digital subscription. We keep talking about it, and I'm going to say it again, PHP Tech 26. Do come and join us over in Chicago. It is it's a lovely, lovely week. Great bunch of people, as we've talked about already, so I won't keep pushing. But don't forget, JS Tech's call for papers is still open till the 7th of December. TJ, 7th of December. You can learn JavaScript by then, can't you?
I think I can probably pull that off.
There you go. There's your talk. How to learn JavaScript in 2 weeks.
Claude, teach me JavaScript.
Oh, exactly. God, no, don't do that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And then we've got our swag store.
We have.
Head over there and you can see t-shirts and some hats and caps and things at store.phparch.com. Head over there and grab some swag for you. And that is everything. We have ticked all the boxes. And thank you very much again, TJ, for joining us today. Thank you, everyone, for watching live. And we will catch you at the next one. Bye.